Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, I'm joined as always at this time on a Wednesday by Simon Tierney. And today he's going to tell us how to do stuff. The stuff that you might do every day, you might not do every day, you might need advice on. What is it today, Simon?
So, Ciara, today we're talking about how to write a love letter. Now, let me give you a little bit of background as to why we're talking about this. So, Olivia Nuzzi is a star reporter for Vanity Fair magazine, formerly of New York magazine. And her ex-fiancé this week published a series of raunchy poems or love letters, which he alleges were written by RFK Jr., the current health secretary in the Trump administration. And they are outrageously pornographic, hilariously grotesque, and would breach all levels of taste and decency if we were to read them out here. But it did get us thinking, Ciara, about what makes a good love letter. And let me assure you that no doubt some of your listeners are Googling what they are right now.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. I have no idea what you're saying. I'm here to read some erotic letters from RFK.
RFK Jr., allegedly written by him. Now, what it did get us thinking about is what makes a really good love letter? And it when you think about it, it goes right back to when you're a kid. Like, I still remember the first love letter that I received. I was thinking about it last night. I was in second class in school and I got a Valentine's Day card signed anonymously. I know who it was from. I definitely know.
Best looking girl in the class.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember what it said on it. It said, "Roses are red, violets are nice. I keep a photo of you in the attic to scare away the mice."
Oh, that's so romantic.
I still remember that it said that. And I remember when I got that, I thought, I know who it's from. I fancy her as well. And now I don't know if her love letter to me is authentic or not, because it's actually quite disparaging.
Oh my God, sorry, I've just read some of the letters here as well, Simon. "I am a river, you are my canyon. I mean to flow through you, I mean to subdue you and tame you, my love."
Yes, yeah. I mean, what you read out there is probably the stuff that's just about well, okay.
Yes, yeah.
I did notice reading. You stopped at a certain point there. I don't know if you want to continue or not.
Awful stuff. Awful.
Yeah. So that's what is alleged. Now, one thing I would say is we don't, like, it's not advisable to be explicit like RFK Jr. is alleged to have been. However, there is one particular love letter from history which I wouldn't describe as explicit, but I would describe as dirty. And the reason I say that is because Napoleon Bonaparte, well-known warmonger, when he was on a campaign in Russia and he was due back to Josephine, his wife, in Paris, he wrote a famous love letter to her. It's a short love letter. It'll take me about 5 seconds to read out. What he wrote is this: "Please don't wash, Josephine. I will arrive home in 3 days.
Maybe that's where we're all going wrong. Daily showers is killing love. Is that what we're saying? He wanted her, what, pheromones?
He wanted the pheromones. Yeah,
body odour.
He liked Josephine unwashed.
Oh, God.
So he said that he'll be home in 3 days. Don't wash. So he wanted her 3 days without having a bath. That's the way Napoleon wanted her. The other thing I would say is not to be too desperate in your love letters, right? Now, I don't know if you're a Robert Harris fan, but last year when his, well, probably his latest novel, Precipice, came out, it's about the build-up to World War One, and it focuses on the extramarital affair between Herbert Asquith, then Prime Minister, and Venetia Stanley, his lover. And it's an extraordinary book because it's kind of a historical novel, but it's basically, it's based on his letters to her, of which we have 560 love letters. Now, bear in mind, he was married to his wife at the time, and she didn't, well, did she know this was going on? We don't know. But of the 560 letters that he was sending to her, when I was reading it, I was thinking, how do you send that many letters? But in Edwardian London, and indeed in Dublin, there were between 6 and 12 posts per day. So it was almost like you were WhatsApping your lover when you were sending these letters.
And were you getting them over and back right throughout the day?
You were getting them over and back throughout the day. Like, he would have a half-written letter in his pocket, which he would finish during a cabinet meeting when they were working out how to stop Britain going to war with Germany.
Yeah, but my WhatsApp messages to my husband are like, will you bring home milk?
I know.
You know, I don't, I presume that's not what, like, they were writing about.
Let me read one here to you, just a tiny little section of one here that Herbert Asquith wrote to Venetia Stanley. He wrote, I cannot tell you in any words what a blow it is to me not to see you this afternoon. I've built so many hopes and desires upon it. I feel like someone who has had his day turned suddenly from possible sunshine into assured and unrelieved darkness. While he was writing this, the Germans were getting ready to invade Belgium. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Priorities, priorities, Herbert.
Yeah. So, like, the reason I talk about this is because it shows how all-consuming these love letters become. They become so important to a person's day.
Okay, but they weren't love letters, to be clear, to his wife. They were love letters to his mistress.
To his mistress, yeah. Venetia Stanley. So what else? I think metaphor is really important, right? You'll notice that probably the most famous love letters in history tend to be the ones that have been written by famous writers. You're talking about your Oscar Wildes and your William Shakespeare's. You know, we all had that sonnet when we were in school. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Sonnet 18 by Shakespeare. We don't know if that was written to somebody in particular. But what I really like is Oscar Wilde's. Now, again, this is an extramarital affair. His relationship with Alfred Bosie Douglas in London at the height of his literary powers in the late 1890s when he was writing The Importance of Being Earnest, Lady Windermere's Fan and all the rest. Now, he was married to Constance Wilde, of whom he had children with and all the rest. But he wrote this letter to Bosie Douglas. It is a marvel that those red rose leaf lips of yours should be made no less for the madness of music and song than for the madness of kissing. Now, that's the first metaphor. There's going to be two more in the next section of the letter. Your slim gilt soul walks between passion and poetry. That's the second metaphor. And then the third, he rounds it off with this one. I know Hyacinthus, whom Apollo loved so madly, was you in Greek days.
Yeah, don't understand that.
So he's comparing his lover to a Greek god, right? I mean, this is like, you can see that this is written by a serious literary power at the height of those powers. Oscar Wilde writing to his lover in the 1890s.
Simon, I'm feeling a wee bit sad here, to be honest. If I get the old, you know, love heart eye emoji, I'd be delighted with myself. I would consider that a good day.
Know.
You know, communication
we've lost
of love.
It. I
we've
really
lost
think we've lost
our
it.
Ability to speak to our loved ones. And
we
I mean
really
our loved
have.
Ones, our partners.
But this is why I think there's massive value in returning to the written word, to writing a letter to somebody and writing a love letter to somebody. I mean, you know, you need to write a letter to your mistress or to the man that you're having an affair with. It's very important that you do that.
Okay, and that's
I encourage that's that here. At the Christmas time, you know.
Okay, I think that's the key here. Yeah, it's not the person.
As Tommy Tiernan once said in his podcast just before Christmas, he said, I'd like to do a Christmas shout out to all those people who are having affairs out there, which I thought was hilarious. You know, it's the thing that you can't talk about. Letters, love letters, there's a kind of an illicit nature to them, I think, isn't
you
it?
You say you also need to play on notions of time and be practical as well about what you can offer.
Okay, so let me go to Henry VIII, one of the world's great, one of history's greatest lovers, of course. Did he have 8 or 9 wives, most of whom he killed? So he is really practical in his love letters because it's not just about flowery language, it's about what you can offer to the other person. So he wrote a famous love letter to Anne Boleyn, and in it he says, "If you please to do the office of a true, loyal mistress and friend, and to give up yourself, body and heart, to me." So if you give your entirety to him, to Henry VIII, he then continues, "I promise you that I will take you from my only mistress." So what he's guaranteeing there to Anne Boleyn is, if you give yourself to me, I promise you I will get rid of all my other girlfriends and you'll be the only one for the time being until I behead you in a few years' time, which he did in reality.
What about the passage of time? How do you refer to that? You're saying that's kind of important.
Yeah, the passage of time is an interesting one. And what I did with this is when people write love letters, they'll talk about how time stretches when I'm away from you and time goes too quickly when I'm close to you. You know, it's a classic kind of trope with love letters. But I tried to look at some of the famous World War I correspondence between Tommies on the front and their lovers or wives back on the home front. And one that I found that is really beautiful is between a soldier in Essex And his name was, if I can get it here, Leslie Cox, to his fiancée Josephine. And he says, "I felt quite hurt when you asked me if I'd forgotten you." He's writing from the Western Front. "I think of you 100 times a day. I wish I could be with you at home, dearest. Oh, roll on this blessed war so we can all get home again. I hope it will be not long now." That gives you a sense of he's just wishing for this war to end and he thinks about her all the time, but he can't be with her. I love that.
Beautiful. I want for you here, Simon.
Yeah.
"For Simon Cheerney, here's a line. Love turns ordinary days divine. It sneaks in softly, warm and true. The world feels brighter because of you."
Oh, wow.
I just
love
got that
it.
From ChatGPT.
Oh, okay. Damn. I thought there was someone out there who had genuine affection for me, Kira.
Simon Cheerney's wife or mistress, if you're out there, send us in a message and we can read it out to Simon Cheerney. A call to all of us. Put our love into words.
Into words. The written word. Very important.
Written word. Beautiful. Simon Cheerney, thanks for that.
Thanks, Kira.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.